Hello, thanks for being here with us on the New Life series of educational series with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav. Hello, Tal Mendelbaum. Hello. We would like to talk with Rav Lightman today about our situation as an Israeli nation. We see that our standing in the world is not very good, to say the least, and deteriorating. We would like to take ourselves backwards. What happened with us in this more broad period in perspective, to see what happened in the world and understand where these specific qualities come from and how we can implement the dormant state that's in us in Israel. Tal, please open the discussion. Yes, just as Oren says, it's amazing the gap between where we are today and as much as we know just a bit about the intensity and the great treasures that our nation brought to the world throughout history. Actually, we know, and we talked about this in previous programs, but that our nation brought the Bible, the foundations of judicial and philosophy and many other things. So many of the thoughts processes today in the world come from our nation. It's a huge influence in the world. And today it's something that's very distant from us, very disconnected. And maybe really in order to awaken this potential, we'd like to go backwards and investigate where it came from and how it influenced the world. Maybe we'll be able to go there and a little bit more today. So we'd like to go back now to that point in which our nation blossomed, that it had here in the land of Israel, when it goes out into an exile, disperses amongst the nations, and starts with certain influences on the world. And let's start from there. What actually is happening? With what charge does our people go out and come back to the people? What happens there? What does it bring? Okay, well, there's a big difference between how we were as a nation and a state before the ruin of the temple and after, when we have been under the cause of the ruin and going out into exile. Because during the days of the, before the ruin, all those generations from the entrance into the land of Israel during the days of Joshua and until the ruin, we were in a certain measure more or less changing, but a measure of revelation of the Creator of the upper force to the people. As there were Kabbalists always amongst the people, and the people knew of them and would turn to them, and they were the ones that were influential for the people. These were periods of the prophets, the kings, and so on. Meaning, although there was a constant cascading deterioration from the moment of the attainment of the first temple, which is called, in our words, Mochin Dechaya, and until we gradually began to deteriorate. And this deterioration was, well, at times going back somewhat, but nevertheless, not anymore. Let's just say it this way. The exile after the first the ruin of the first temple was, the Babylonian ruin was higher than the second temple. In what way do you mean that? Well, in the level of attainment, the sensation of the essence of life, where the first temple, which develops this revelation of this upper force, which develops us in a way that will make us realize how we are a light to the nations. We were in a constant retreat or deterioration, but it was very clear that the nation knew during the first temple that they were under the care of the upper force. And only after we went out into exile, we began to disconnect from it. And it also wasn't immediate. There were hundreds of years after the exile where the people were still in the frustration of what we lost. And was there some living memory from what was up? Yes, just like in the book of Eicha, which we read, let's say, on the 9th of Av fast, which is the day of the ruin of the first and the second temples. And though the people knew that there's no choice, we have to go out to exile, we need to be amongst the nations of the world, but we can't resist it, but we nevertheless have to go through our development in a good way, in the way of Hachishena in haste. We always have two paths before us. The path of, in its time, Beito, through the forces of nature which work according to the plan, according to the times, and the way of Achishena, which is where we can hasten times and mitigate them. In such a way that we develop faster than what nature obligates us, and we are drawn towards that future state, but with the forces that we attempt to recruit from amongst us, and we want to get to this unity, this connection between us, even though our ego is pushing us against this and trying to distance the closeness between us. And if we try, of course, through requests, prayers, all kinds of cries, we draw the upper force to help us unite, then we develop in a good way. So therefore, what happened is that on one hand, we need to say that, well, this is what should have happened, and this is what happened, and this is from above. But on the other hand, we have to say, because we didn't manage from below to bring our development to even a better way between us, and in our eyes and in the eyes of the upper force. Because there's a plan, yes, because there are rules that we need to maintain every moment of our existence throughout the axis of time. We have to be in those states, in a certain state of revelation, a revelation of the ego, the human nature. This revelation can come from the side of the good or from the side of the bad. I can reveal and see it because I have to correct it, and then I'm not afraid, I reveal it. In advance, I know it's unpleasant, but I also see and I equip myself with such forces, with such discernments, with such connections between us, that we can control this revelation and reveal this monster. Though what we reveal together, we know we're not afraid of it because we control it, we can hold it so that it won't break out like King Kong above us. It's really written that the ruin of the temple came due to unfunded hatred, so it was a breakout of hatred. Yes, a breakout of our ego, which brings distancing and hatred. And hatred, which is unfunded, meaning for no reason, meaning I just want my livelihood by hating. That's how I find my livelihood, by hating everyone. It's comfortable for me and it's good for me. As you could say that it's today, like you have all the slander and gossip and all these kind of forms of living. There's no justification for it. It's just the way the ego is burning in each of us, and it brings us to such a form of living. And this is what we see today in the whole world, how much people hate, are hostile, and how everyone is hostile towards each other. It's just like they're taking out such badness towards each other that we just don't find anything else to deal with, just being on the borderline of war. So after the exile, before the exile, there was a certain height that the Israel was in, and they knew how to deal with this hatred, therefore it was a certain model for everyone. Rabbi Akiva cried out, "Love thy friend as thyself is the great rule in the Torah." Let's go back to that. Otherwise, in the end of this hatred, there is the ruin of the temple, and the ruin of the people, and the ruin of the state, and we are finishing everything. And they didn't hear. So they didn't hear, they didn't succeed. You said there's a certain plan that is operating. No. The program operates on one hand as it advances us through the forces of nature, like still vegetative and animate without asking. On the other hand, the Torah was given to us, the wisdom of Kabbalah, the Torah of truth, this doctrine of truth, which shows us that we know these things, and we need to be known to go through these states. What are these states? It's the revelation of evil in the nature of man. It has to be revealed, this evil. But it depends on how it's revealed. If it's revealed without a preparation on my behalf, then in accordance to the bad that I discover, then that's how I have to be to the whole world. If I know, and we received the wisdom of Kabbalah, and we had teachers that were wise sages, great Kabbalists that taught the people, if I took on all these discernments and took on all these good conditions, then I could have discovered this evil in a better way and use it in a better way. But now I know that this has to break out, this ego, and therefore I aim myself towards it. I prepare myself together with everyone so that this bad won't be as a hatred that will break out between us. Well, rather it breaks out, but we know that it's going to break out. We know why and for what. We work on ourselves in order to muzzle it in a ways, and then we know the evil is going to be revealed. There's no choice about that. But as much as it is revealed, we discover against it the force of love. And then it works out that upon every transgression, love will cover it. And then we come in a good and nice way to the correction of all the bad in us. We can do that if we are aware of what's happening and definitely go from side to side and effortless. But there needs to be a unity of the people for this to happen, a good strong connection to listen to the sages and be organized. So far, according to what I managed to grasp, there are three forces that our nation was connected to in the past. You reminded us first a connection with the upper force, then you talked about the force of an ego, which is awakening, and now you mentioned another force of a force of love. Yes, connection. What does it mean that the Israeli nation was connected to some force, to an upper force? What does it mean a connection to a force of ego? What does it mean a course connection to a force of love? What is a nation that has these forces? All of humanity, if we won't pay attention to all the bodies that which differentiate between us, are one general desire. A desire for what? A desire to enjoy. A desire for pleasure. There's nothing more than that. There's nothing else in reality. Everything from still vegetative animals and people, all that we want is to enjoy. Only in each degree to this will to enjoy is not what we think of in the human degree, in the degree of speaking. To enjoy for a rock means that it has an inner force to maintain itself in the form that it's in. Yes, that's a solid. And it holds itself that way. That's considered that it seemingly enjoys existence. And doesn't let the external forces to break him up. Meaning, and then when it comes to vegetation, it's not just that it maintains itself, but it also develops and really expands its life. It takes on more space, but it enjoys from absorbing the sun and air and water and so on. There's more absorption, more enjoyment, more sensation of livelihood. Animals are with even a greater will to enjoy, and therefore it even moves from place to place in order to attain something from which it can enjoy. A human being is special. Meaning, there are human beings that are like animals. They're constantly looking for where they can fill themselves with a greater connection to the pleasures and more confidence that I won't lose them. Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, all kinds of things like that for each and every one. And there are those that get a special drive that they want to be in contact with godliness. And that's what they enjoy from. Like that. What is that connection with godliness? To know why I live, where, for what reason I live, what reality I'm living, what's happening with me, where I'm from, and how I exist, who's managing me. I feel like something is going on here. And also, where am I going? What happens after I die, after my body dies, and so on. Meaning they have a certain, within this force of pleasure, this demand for enjoyment, they have another addition, which is very essential. Very essential because they're asking about the meaning of life. There are many such people in the world. You see, even somewhat, those questions come to all the people that are in depression, those who are consuming drugs, and they're asking about the essence of meaning. Yes, most of them are asking about the meaning of existence. What's the point in my life? What's the meaning of my life? What am I living for? Because without that, it seems like life loses meaning. Because food, sex, and family, knowledge, money, and honor. So what? So I can exist like a beast, like an animal that has all the good. And from day to day, as it exists, then I have my own stable, or my own doghouse, or home. What's the difference? Same thing with my offspring, but like animals. My physical existence is no different than animals. I'm at the same level, truly in the same category, the same line with them. Still vegetative and animals. Speaking are those who want to rise above this physical life, this corporeal life, because our body is the degree of an animal. And speaking is really the one who asks, why and for what am I alive? Such people exist in humanity. But especially in ancient days in Babylon, when that question would awaken during the time of the Tower of Babel, when all of a sudden, many people discovered that they were asking for what? What's the benefit? And now we're going to build a tower to the sky. What will that give us? What, the pyramids, like in Egypt? What will that give us? And they felt that they didn't have an answer for what they were asking. And this is exactly where Abraham was discovered, where he came just at that time of the Tower of Babylon, when the connection between this breakout of the ego and connection between people in that times, and he came to the conclusion that this all comes so that we will unite above this ego. So if we will be able to connect above the ego, we will come to the ascent of our ego, the heights, even though it's a causing the problem, but if we rise above it, we'll reach a potential, a spiritual potential, such heights that is so that are so essential that they're of the next world. What is the next world? A reality which is completely in order to bestow, where we leave this life, which is in this world, that which appears to us the way this world does, and the way everything is holding on, and everything is in an egotistic struggle of who's going to eat anyone. We come to a different level of existence where we can build between us, between human beings, and then it will influence still vegetative and animals as well. That we will relate to each other with love. Love will cover all transgressions, as he himself was the measure of chesed. And therefore we come to a different level of existence. We get to see the world with different glasses. Not that I see how I'm using everything and exploiting every single thing, but rather how, on the contrary, how I give to everyone, help everyone, love everyone, feel the sorrow of the others, and then my world changes. Because instead of the paradigm of receiving and absorbing everything for the sake of myself, I invert it to the other way around. I have no other way to do it. But if I do this, if I invert it to the opposite, I flip the inclinations, flip the desires, I discover a new reality because everything depends on my perception. Because there is no reality. It's how I grasp it. Now I grasp it according to the force of reception. I need to grasp this reality and understand it and feel it according to the force of bestowal. And then I'll see it in a different way. And it's within my forces to do it, within my abilities. And he discovered even more that really this plan of nature, the development of the human generation was in order for us to come to such a state, so that from this change, from everything being to receive to everything being to bestow, from hating of others, meaning that I use him for this my sake, to love of others, where I use myself for his sake, by doing so, I simply invert his world, I flip his world. I truly, a person is not used to it. He's used to living in this world, like the way he was born, a small animal, and everything appears natural to him. He doesn't understand that what really happens is it's all a specific grasp, perception of reality, and it all depends on perception. And the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us how we can change our perception, the perception of reality. I'd like to go back to the gist of it. Well, so Abraham taught those people, as they asked, what's the point in our life? What's the meaning of our life? Why are we living? They had a demand to see a more real reality and discover the reason, to see the program, to see the purpose, what we're living for. And then he taught them how to change their sight in order to discover the whole true reality. Now this revelation of this plan of the development of human beings, this inversion in the grasp from receiving everything to bestowing and doing good, how is it connected to, you said that the Jewish nation was characterized by a connection with the upper force. So far, I understood about these two connection between two forces between people, the force of ego, where I want to take everything just for myself, and against it, an opposite force that is giving, loving, bestowal, that from taking everything to myself or from giving myself to others, and they are in different interrelationships between human beings. But you talked about an additional force. You said that the Jewish nation, what was characteristic of it is that it was also aware of being in a care and a connection with an upper force. What is this force and how is it connected to the relationships between human beings? Yes, the upper force is the force which precedes our reality. It is the one that is the force of bestowal and love, and therefore it created the creatures with an opposite desire of itself, not in a desire to bestow, but in a desire to receive, so that the created beings would remain within the will to receive. We can do anything about that. He created us like that. Just like I can't create this glass. I created it from glass. If I were to take this glass, will the cup continue to exist? No. Meaning our initial matter, the will to receive, remains. Only we add to it the intention in order to bestow. What does it mean, the intention in order to bestow? From us learning, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, how to be similar to that upper force, which is completely bestowal, though I am made up from the ego, from the will to receive, I let this will to receive have a different expression, a different external form, which wants to bestow, because seemingly I become included from two forces: the force of reception, which is my natural force, I can't get rid of it, and the force of bestowal, which I get as an example from the Creator, which is completely bestowal. And then it comes to be that I get forces from the Creator, bestowal. I can get from him such a force of bestowal that I can limit my force of reception and say, I am not using my force of reception. I cannot nullify my, or cancel my will to receive, because that's me, and I won't be able to do anything. It's not in my mind. But I can say, I'm not going to use it. I'm not using it. What do I use? What force? I use the force of reception, which is not called in the degree of man, but in the degree of still vegetative and animate, for the sake of my life, for my livelihood, for my sustenance. And on those levels, on the still vegetative and animate, so I'll have food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, in a way that I define to myself. This far and no more. And what beyond that, what other forces do I have? Beyond that, I operate only with the force of bestowal, which means what in the half minute that remains? That is something I receive from the Creator, and then I develop this force of bestowal more and more, so much so that I remain as an animal in my body, but besides me, I am growing the image of man, the man who is similar to the Creator. We will have to do more discussions on this topic. I would like for you to summarize in one sentence. If I'm trying to understand what force is within the nation, Israeli nation, which is not in other nations, but what would it be? The force of bestowal, the force of the Creator, which we received, which was within us, only and remains in us, only right now, it is in a concealed manner. Can we renew it? Yes, of course. We will continue to talk on this about this in our next discussion, because our time is over. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you, too, for being with us. Until next time, all the best. A new life. So long.